While I give you a moment to pray, let me suggest you tell God you want to learn from His Word and ask Him to show you what He wants you to get out of today. Lord, I thank You that You have given us Your Word so that we know who You are, we know what You want, we know how to live this life. And I pray that today You'd help us to move forward in that by Your written Word preached and by Your Spirit working in each one of us. May we be willing learners, wanting to do Your will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We started a study through a new book of the Bible last Sunday, and I'll be honest with you, when it came time to choose the new book and I started praying about that, what should be preached next, I wanted to pick something that was a little easier on us. We went through Hosea last spring, which was very convicting, and before that we went through the book of 1 Corinthians, which gave us a lot of challenges on our behavior. And so in and of myself, I thought something that taught us about God, about Christ, and would encourage us, would be nice. Well, God led me to Colossians, which does teach us about Christ and does encourage us. And the Colossians, you might remember from last week, were doing very well. It said they were faithful, which means they were generally doing what God wanted them to do. So there's no big rebuke in this letter. But in this letter, Paul also revealed to the Colossian Christians that they had more growing to do, and they had more knowledge of God to gain, and more godly behavior that they needed to do. So I find it a little amusing that God wouldn't just let us take it easy, because as long as we are on this earth, we have more growing to do in knowledge of God and behavior that He wants us to do. Please open your Bible to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. You might remember from last Sunday, this guy named Epaphras had brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to the city of Colossae, and people came to Christ. And he reported back to Paul and Timothy that there were new people in faith in Christ in Colossae. There was a church there. And when Paul and Timothy found that out, they started to pray regularly for their brothers in Colossae. And today we're going to study what Paul and Timothy told the Colossians that they were praying for them. Please look at Colossians chapter 1. I'm just going to read verse 9 to start. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, that's their faith, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the first part of the prayer is that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. God's will is what God wants to happen. We need to know what God wants to be able to do what He wants. And you might say, well, isn't God's will bigger than just me doing what He wants? Yes, it is. But you're going to see in the verses to come that Paul's emphasis here is on each individual Christian doing what God wants. So we need to know what God wants to be able to do what He wants. And this word for knowledge emphasizes that the knowledge is gained by people being learners. We need to be a learner of God's will. If we need to know what God wants, we need to give ourselves to learning. The prayer was that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Filled is this really complicated Greek word. It means filled. No. It does have the nuance here of being filled. That this is a process that's happening. So, a little illustration here for you. Maybe I should do it over this table. Can everybody see? Okay. So, imagine this is you, or I don't know, maybe your brain. is this glass. And you know a little bit of this is God's will, what God has to teach you, show you. So you know some of God's will. Maybe some of you, you know more than others. But it specifically says that we are to be filled, or being filled, rather, with the knowledge of His will. And so until we know everything that God wants us to do, we are to keep being filled. Do you know every single thing that God wants you to do? And specifically, maybe up until now you feel like, yes, I have listened to God, I know His will, but we have a long ways to go in our lives. Do you already know everything that He wants you to do for the rest of your life? So we need to be being filled. Until we are filled with the knowledge of God's will, we need to keep learning. And so we don't stop learning for our entire lives. I know that I have a ton more to learn, even in God's Word. Even though I've been studying this most days for 25 years for my personal life, I went to seminary for 5 years and spent 40 hours a week, you know, talking about and learning about His Word. And I've spent the last 11 years preaching most weekends and studying in preparation for that. And I still have a ton to learn about God's will. So we need to be active in learning to know God's will. But look at what else it says related to knowing His will. It says, filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. These words wisdom and understanding are about being able to comprehend what you're learning and being able to see how it applies to your life. So like, you know, right now is an opportunity to learn God's Word, to learn God's will. And on a weekly basis, I look out there sometimes and I see kind of blank eyes. They're struggling maybe to just understand what it is that I'm trying to explain up here. And then maybe you learn it. You understand what was said. You understand God's Word. You understand God's will. And then it's time to leave here and go out and live according to it. When you leave, do you understand what you're supposed to do? That's what these words are about. Because teaching can happen, reading can happen, and you can not understand. You can not know what to do as a result of it. So, we are supposed to understand. We are supposed to comprehend. We are supposed to know how to apply it to life. And this says how we do it, I think. It says these things are spiritual. Now, that could just refer to the fact that we're learning spiritual truth because we're learning things about God. But many think, actually, all five scholars that I read, think this refers to the Holy Spirit helping us to comprehend and understand, because most of the words in this passage are passive, meaning that God is doing it to us, God is doing it for us. And so, as we're giving ourselves to learning, the Spirit helps us. The Spirit helps us to mentally comprehend what it is that we're learning, and the Spirit helps us to apply it to exactly what we're supposed to do. Remember, this is about God's will. And that interpretation makes total sense, because this makes sense that you'd pray that for somebody, that if they're continuing to learn, that they would understand and that they would know what to do with it. I pray that for people all the time, that they would understand whatever teaching they're getting and that they would know what they're supposed to do with it. So we are to give ourselves to learning, and the Holy Spirit will help us comprehend and understand so that we can know God's will, what God wants to happen, and specifically what God wants each of us to do in our lives. This is a very normal pattern in the Bible, by the way, teaching about our spiritual life, that we are to work, and when we give ourselves to work, the Holy Spirit works in us. We are to give ourselves to doing what God wants, and when we do, He helps us, specifically by His Spirit, usually the Bible says. Let's let this truth correct a couple of common errors that have been around for thousands of years and persist to keep coming up. One error people make in their thinking is that they can just study the Bible like it's just a mere academic exercise and get all that they need. That leaves out this critical element of the Holy Spirit enlightening us. The Holy Spirit helping us comprehend and understand the spiritual truths and how those spiritual truths are supposed to play out in our lives, what we're supposed to do with it. I believe in this so strongly, this biblical truth, that I think one of the most important things that I do on a weekly basis, even though most of you who have been here for a while know, I study diligently and I study and study and study until I feel like I understand. But one of the most important things that I do along with that in preparation for my studying the Bible, while I'm studying the Bible, before I get up to preach God's Word, is depend on the Holy Spirit to help me understand what God's Word means. To help me discern, even as I'm reading commentaries, which of these guys is right, or of all of them wrong. To comprehend the significance of it to our lives, and to start to make applications of what to do. To give general applications of what we should do because of this. And then I even pray every week for you all, multiple times, that the Spirit would be at work in you, because when I'm trying to apply it, when I'm trying to give it His wisdom, here's what we should go do, it's very general. I don't have 72 applications or whatever for each of you. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in you, that you would have wisdom and understanding of what you've just learned. And this isn't just for pastors to do this, to try to depend on the Holy Spirit to have wisdom and understanding, because Paul and Timothy were praying it for all the Christians in Colossae. So when you study the Bible, when you listen to a sermon, depend on the Spirit as much as using your mind. Another error in thinking that has popped up many times over the centuries is that there is a special knowledge that only certain Christians, usually like some kind of super Christian, can attain. Now, it is true that only certain Christians attain certain knowledge and understanding. But it's because only a certain percentage try. There are a lot of Christians that are not giving themselves to continued learning, and they're not depending on the Holy Spirit to show them. The knowledge of God's will, understanding and comprehending it, is available to every single Christian if we give ourselves to learning God's Word and being helped by the Holy Spirit. Paul and Timothy prayed this would be true of all the Colossian Christians. And I pray that it's true of all of us, that we will give ourselves to learning and that we will depend on the Holy Spirit to help us. We need the knowledge of God's will so that we may do what He wants. That's what this next section is about. Please look at verses 10 through 12 while I read. This is a continuation of the same sentence. I just broke it between 9 and 10. So 10, in order to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, with desire to please Him in everything, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being empowered with all power according to His glorious might, unto all perseverance and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, the One who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. So God's will is what God wants to happen. But Paul was speaking about a specific aspect of that, which is what God wants each person to do in their life. Here, Paul refers to that, as Paul often did, as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So we've got something to do. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And so to do that, we need to know what God wants us to do. To walk is a metaphor that I think is really helpful, because as many of you know, we've talked about this, I mean, dozens of times, even in the past few months, how the Bible pictures a path that God has us on, and He's leading us down that path. But it's not just this broad kind of general path that like everybody's herding in there like cows. this paints a further picture of it, where for each one of us on the path, there are like footsteps that he wants us to walk in. He's got specific things that he wants each one of us to do every day for the rest of our lives. Following the Lord. And so now here, he gives us reasons why we would want to do this, why we would want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This word worthy refers to a person who is given a great position, and then the person is trying to be responsible with the great position that they've been given. That's what worthy means. Last week we learned some about the great position that we've been given, and I'm telling you, it's just some, because there's a lot more. If you want to check it out, even Ephesians chapter 1 only has some of it, and it has a lot more. But last week we learned some of the position that we've been given in Christ. We have been made children of Almighty God. We have been made holy ones. And we have heaven reserved for us. Thus, the responsibility we have is to behave like we are those things. To behave like heavenly people. To behave like holy ones that have been set apart by God to be different. To behave like children of the Almighty God. And so in each and every step we take in our lives for the rest of our lives, we are to behave like that. Like we are worthy of that great position that we've been given. Remember, I said worthy refers to being given a great position. Well, the person who gives the position is the one that you're responsible to. That's what that word worthy means. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has made us what we are. He's the one who has given us what we have. And so it is the Lord that we are responsible to. That's why this next phrase explains walking worthy. And that phrase is desiring to please the Lord in everything. That explains walking worthy, that we would be desiring to please the Lord in everything. That's how we show that we're grateful of this great position, is that we would just for the rest of our lives go, Lord, it's so awesome what you've done. I want to please you. This is the heart of every person who understands, who really understands what the Lord has done for them. I want to please you, Lord. We are so grateful for what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We desire to please Him in everything we do. Now, the Colossians were pretty new Christians, so they likely didn't understand all the Lord had done for them. They just had a little piece of what the Lord had done for them. And so Paul and Timothy prayed that they would come to more understanding. And that as they came to more understanding, they would come to desire to please the Lord in everything. Where are you in that process of understanding what the Lord has done for you and wanting to please Him because of understanding what He has done for you? If you want to live in a manner worthy of the Lord, in a way that is pleasing to Him, in the rest of the passage, we have further description of how to do that. Now, even this is just a part of it, but it's a lot. There are four participle phrases that outline for us how to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to Him. Those four participle phrases start with bearing fruit, increasing in knowledge, being empowered, and giving thanks. You can see that in your sermon notes. I outlined it that way, but the passage in the Bible is outlined that way. That was Paul and Timothy's outline. So if you desire it and you ask, how do I live in a manner worthy of the Lord in a way that would be pleasing to Him? One part of the answer is by bearing fruit. By bearing fruit in every good work. So what is bearing fruit? Well, it's practically described here as every good work. So to live worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him, we should do every good work that He wants. Now, saying that word good works, I know from different spiritual backgrounds and family backgrounds and learning backgrounds and whatever, different people think different things about what good works are. So let me define good works, even though it might seem obvious to you. Each of you probably has a piece of it, and it's really all of it. Okay? So here's what's encompassed in good works. It's everything God wants us to do. Here's three kind of categories of that, different ways to look at that. Good works encompasses changing our behaviors from what they were to what God wants them to be. Like changing from lying to telling the truth. Changing from having rotten words come out of our mouths to only having words come out of our mouths that build other people up and meet their needs. So our behaviors are part of good works. Good works means doing things that God wants us to do, like giving what He wants us to give out of our income. Means serving in ways that He wants you to serve. And that might be, it is serving in the church. We know that from other places. But also, how do you serve the people that are in your lives? All of that is part of good works. Good works also encompasses what I call character change. You might put this in the category of doing the things God wants us to do. But character change, to me, the difference between that and the stuff that we do is the stuff we do, everybody sees it. We see it. People around us see it. Character things do show, but there's stuff inside of us. For example, not thinking too highly of yourself. Becoming tolerant of the ways that people annoy you. And being more selfless. So all of those things are encompassed in good works. You can probably tell by that definition of good works that this is a lifelong pursuit of doing what God wants continually, every step, every day. We need to be finding out what does He want me to do and then doing it. Okay, so now I've talked a lot about every good work, but let's not forget that was the explanation of the key participle phrase that Paul wanted us to focus on, which is bearing fruit. And I think Paul did that on purpose. He could have just said, doing every good work. That's the way you walk pleasing to the Lord. But he focused us on bearing fruit. This is an analogy for doing good works. And I think there are a couple important reasons that he used the bearing fruit as the main focus of what doing good works looks like. One of those reasons is because getting fruit on a plant starts with a seed. And we're often told in the Bible that the Word of God is the seed, right? So if we're going to get to fruit, we got to start with the seed of the Word of God, which fits this context perfectly that we've been talking about, right? Because it says we're supposed to come to understanding of His will. So we need to understand God's Word so that we know what to do, which is going to bear fruit. Another reason I think this analogy of bearing fruit is used is because bearing fruit is usually the analogy that represents what the Holy Spirit produces in us. Along with God's written word, the Holy Spirit leads us in those steps that we're supposed to take, that God wants us to take. So like when you come in and learn the word of God, the written word of God each week, it doesn't mean every single one of you goes out and does the same thing because of it. God's Spirit leads you. Do this. Take this step. And even down the road, like months after you've heard the sermon, years after you've heard the sermon, the Holy Spirit can go, remember this? That's what I want you to do now. And so the written word combined with the Spirit is what leads us down this step-by-step path. And the Holy Spirit empowers the efforts that we make so that we can actually achieve, we can actually do the things that God wants us to do. So that's one way we walk worthy. Next, if you desire it and you ask, how do I live in a manner worthy of the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him? Another part of the answer is by increasing in the knowledge of God. Our Christian lives are not just about doing what God wants. We have been brought into a relationship with God. And so we are supposed to know Him. Like, I do stuff for my wife. I do stuff for my kids. I do stuff for my friends. And my friends do stuff for me. But that's not the extent of our relationship. I want to know them. And I think any of us, if we analyze this, we would say, you know, a real relationship, we want to know each other. Like, I want to know what they think. I want to know what they feel. I want to know their perspective on things. I want to know their background. I want to know what they care about. That is normal in a healthy relationship. And so, we should know God because we have the privilege through Christ of being in a relationship with Him. And if we think we know Him, we have a lot more to learn. When I got married to my wife, I thought I knew her pretty well. I mean, I'm making a lifelong commitment to a person, right? So I thought I knew her pretty well. But I remember right around our 10-year anniversary of marriage, I was thinking about it, and I thought about how much I knew of her at 10 years, and I was going, holy cow, that when I married her, I barely knew her. How did I make that lifelong commitment with how little I really knew? And now, after more than 23 years of relationship, that is even more true. And I still have more to learn about her. I'm actually kind of astonished. You know, as many of you who are married, you've run into something new and you go, how did I never know this before? And if that's true of a finite human, how much more is that true of the infinite God? There is more to learn about God, who we are in relationship with. And what we are told is living worthy and pleasing to Him is increasing in our knowledge of God. We get to know people by spending time with them and by being inquisitive about them. And so we should spend time with God and be inquisitive about Him. Spend time studying and praying. As we read our Bibles, as we study our Bibles, as we listen to Bible teaching, as we talk to God in prayer, we know Him more. I would add another thing, though, besides being in the Bible and prayer, is I would say, as we walk those steps, we get to know God more. Because remember what's happening that we've already talked about. He's the one showing us each of the steps. And so as we take a step, we go, oh, that was God. And He's the one who helps us, empowers us to be able to do the step. And so as we do it and we see Him working us, we go, oh, look at what God does. And as we see the results of taking those steps, we go, oh, look how God is. Right? And so there's this combination of just getting to know Him through like learning and prayer and getting to know Him through living those things out. That's how we walk worthy. Next, if you desire it and you ask, how do I live in a manner worthy of the Lord in a way that will be pleasing to Him? Another part of the answer is by being empowered with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all perseverance and long-suffering with joy. Now, we've already talked a lot, actually, about the Holy Spirit's work in us and empowering us, right? And now it specifically talks about that, being empowered. But notice the thing that He says that we need to be empowered for. It's for the purpose of attaining all perseverance and long-suffering with joy. Perseverance means doing what we're supposed to do through difficulty. So He's leading you step by step each day down this path, and you encounter difficulty. What are you going to do? Persevere. Do the next step. Do that thing that He's told you to do anyway, even that it's difficult. How? By being empowered. Long-suffering, which most of your translations translate as patience. I like long-suffering because it basically defines what the word is. It is putting up with suffering over an extended period of time. And so again, as you're taking these steps that He wants you to take, you might encounter suffering. Maybe God leads you into a relationship with somebody and that person causes you suffering. But you're supposed to keep going in that relationship with them. Like the example I gave a minute ago, marriage. Marriage can be very painful. The person can cause you a lot of suffering. And yet, if I come into suffering in my marriage, I got to keep going because God says He doesn't want me to divorce. And so how do we do that? How do we go through the suffering and keep doing what God wants us to do? By being empowered. We can do what God wants through difficulty. We can put up with suffering and do what God wants by being empowered. And not only can we do the things, but we can do it with joy. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who keep doing the things that they think God wants them to do, but when difficulties come, it's spite, grumbling, bad attitude. Here it says, with joy. How? Suffering and difficulty, I do it with joy? I keep doing what God wants me to do with joy? How? By the power of God. The power that is according to His glorious might. So the way that we can keep doing what God wants through difficulty and the way that we can put up with suffering over an extended period of time with joy is because of the immensely awesome power that is resident in God and He can give to us. There's a whole bunch of different words for power that are translated power in the New Testament. This one here is translated might. And this one has the emphasis of it is resident in. This is the power that is resident in God. And He's willing to give it to us to be able to do what He wants us to do. Being empowered is passive. So this is given to us from God. So how do I get it? There's nothing here. At least Paul explicitly tells us, how do we make this happen or how do we allow this to happen? But I have a couple thoughts that are based on things that Paul has said here. One, we've been talking a lot about giving ourselves to doing what God wants, right? Walking worthy, that's the thing we're supposed to do. And so maybe this empowering just happens as we give ourselves to doing what God wants us to do. We say, yes, God, I hear what You want me to do. I know what You want me to do. I'm going to just do it. And He empowers. That would be totally consistent with what the New Testament teaches. Second thought I have is Paul was praying this for the Colossians. So how about we pray this for ourselves and for other Christians when we are facing difficulties and suffering? That we would persevere with joy. That they would persevere with joy. For that purpose, I'm personally going to write this in my prayer notebook, this verse 11, to remember to pray this for me and for others. It's part of walking worthy. Next, if you desire it and you ask, how do I live in a manner worthy of the Lord in a way that will be pleasing to Him? Another part of that answer is giving thanks to the Father. This is to be an ongoing thing, giving thanks to the Father. There is always plenty to be thankful for to the Father, even in the face of difficulty and suffering. I don't think that's any coincidence. This comes right after the difficulty and suffering comment. Even in the face of difficulty and suffering, there's plenty to thank the Father for. And if we can't think of anything else to thank Him for, we can always thank Him that He has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. That's basically heaven. We're going to dig into this multifaceted description, but basically we can always thank the Father that we are going to heaven. And I think about that specifically through suffering and difficulty. That's a perfect time for me when I'm going, this stinks. I wish this was over with. And I can go, thank You, Father, for heaven, that this will be over with when I go to heaven. Right? It says that He has qualified us for this qualified us is passive, like many of these other words. God has done this for us. He has qualified us for heaven. The Greek word translated qualified means to make adequate. We have been made adequate to go to heaven by Jesus Christ cleansing us of our sins and giving us His righteousness, His holiness. All the holy ones, which refers to all who trust Christ, which we learned last week, all Christians share in this inheritance. God the Father has become our Father through our faith in Jesus Christ, and the inheritance which our Father in heaven is leaving to us is heaven. We can thank Him for it. And it says, in light about heaven, the Father, because the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's verse 14 where we'll pick up next week. I pray that every one of you may not stop growing in Christ, that you may keep increasing in your knowledge of God and what He wants you to do, and that you may keep increasing in doing what He wants you to do until you are taking every single step of your life in the ways that He wants you to, walking worthy. What questions or challenges do you have about this topic, or this passage? Yeah. When will we be totally full of the knowledge of God? I'm not sure we ever will be. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us. It says things like, you know, be being filled. So it's not that we're totally filled, but it's in process that we're filling, right? And being that God is an infinite being, this is just me kind of thinking logically through what I know to be true from the Scriptures, but the Scriptures don't tell me this. I think we'll continue to learn for eternity who God is, because He's that massive. But remember what Paul was specifically talking about in context here is not just knowledge of God. He was talking most specifically about us knowing what God wants us to do. And so again, that's a continual process for our whole lives, because as long as we're on earth, we're taking steps, right? Even if you're laying in a bed, debilitated spiritually, you're taking steps. You're thinking things that God wants you to do. You're even can do things from your debilitated bed that God wants you to do. And so for our whole lives, we're taking steps of what He wants us to do. So we need to keep being filled with the knowledge of His will, of what He wants us to do for our whole lives. So that's your example of this playing out in your life, what was being prayed for here. You didn't ask this, but off of what you said, I would say a couple things about that. One, no local church has a claim on a Christian's life. So, you know, the Holy Spirit is in charge of every Christian's walk, and that might be being involved with various Christians and various different Christian groups. My main accountability partner doesn't go to this church. We talk every week. So if the Holy Spirit is leading you to do something, you should do it. Including going to a Bible study with a different group or a different church or whatever. Now, a couple things that I would add on to that is that if you have a church, which you do, that is your family, that you are close to, they know you, you know them, that's important. And so, because there are certain people that just jump around getting knowledge from different places and they never plug in a way that they have family with their brothers and sisters in Christ. So that aspect is important instead of just, you know, learning in different places. The other thing that makes me think of is we do have to be more careful when we do stuff like that, because in any church this is true, but I'll just use our church. In our church, there's a certain by having consistent preaching from the Bible, it's establishing doctrine and expectations across the whole church that other teachers that we allow teach here follow in that. And so you can have a confidence that if you've been coming here for a while and you're hearing the Bible preached accurately from the pulpit, that if you go to a Bible study or a home fellowship, that you've got a good chance that it's going to be consistent with what's being preached, right? But if all of a sudden you jump in at another church, you don't know what the foundation is there, and so you have to be a little more careful. Yeah. But I wouldn't say don't do it. I'd just say you got to be more careful. And that's true not just going to a church, but listening to Bible teaching on the radio, listening to Bible teaching on the TV, reading people's devotionals, whatever it happens to be. When you don't know the foundation of their teaching and what they're committed to, you got to be careful when you jump into that and be extra discerning. Maybe even ask other people that are as mature or more mature than you to evaluate it with you. Yeah. And let's pray to apply this a little bit. Will you tell God how thankful you are that He has given you heaven through Christ? Will you tell God if you want to live in a manner worthy of the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him? Will you ask Him to teach you what He wants you to do and empower you to do it each day and each week? And finally, will you think of a brother who is facing suffering or difficulty? And will you ask God to empower them with His glorious power to persevere through that with joy? Lord, I pray for each of us that we would not stop growing in You, Jesus Christ, that we may keep increasing in our knowledge of God, that we may keep increasing in our knowledge of what You want us to do, so until we get to where every single step of our lives we feel like we know what we're supposed to do, and that as we learn those things that we would do it, that we would do what You want, and it would bring You glory, Jesus Christ. We would walk worthy of You. And so it's in Christ's name I pray. And all those who agreed said, Amen. Well, stick around, get to know someone. Let's go worship the Lord with our lives.